0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the fallout from a blockbuster weekend does continue, indeed, Celtic have lost their appeal against Austin Trusty's red card from Sunday's game, meaning he will miss the upcoming Old Firm match. St Mirren's Richard King wins his appeal though, and it's Dundee United against Aberdeen in the Scottish Premiership this evening. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you've got Brian Graham of Falkirk and Gordon Dalziel of Super Scoreboard.
Yeah, whatever. Just comes along. Two big decisions tonight, Gordon, that me personally, I agree with. I think they've got them correct. I'm sure a lot of Celtic fans will disagree with that. Obviously, King with St Mirren, I thought it was never a red card in a million years. And it's a big blow for Celtic going into a massive game. Thursday you can sort of a bypass, that's gone, but a massive game on Sunday without Trusty. And then you've got a big game tonight, Aberdeen Dundee United. If any of them fancy the chances of catching this man's Falkirk, then they've got to get 3 points tonight. That's a close one.
What are you hoping for, a draw there?
A nice wee draw would be perfect, aye. But going back to Gordon's original point there with the red card, Celtic losing their appeal, I think that's correct. I also think King's was rightly sorted as well, so I think there'll still be a lot of fallout from the Austin Trusty one, but me personally, I think it was a red card.
01419511025, loads to get through tonight. It's only Tuesday, which means we still look back on the weekend, especially when it was as big a weekend as it was. There's a contradiction here, obviously, because we've just 1 minute ago had the news that Austin Trusty has lost his appeal, so that's fresh news. But on the other hand, I was going to say we did a lot of the referee stuff from the weekend. What about the football? What about the title race? Maybe we could do a bit more of that tonight, because we didn't get as much of a chance as we would have liked last night. But whatever it is, it's up to you. 01419511025. Austin Trusty loses his appeal, Richard King wins his. And like I said, what about the title race? What about the football? What about the results? Celtic fans, what's happening there? Because you've got that game this midweek. You're then going to be without Trusty for the trip to Ibrox at the weekend. I know he hasn't been in brilliant form, but still, what does that mean heading there? And big game tonight, as the guys have alluded to, Brian Graham and all involved at Falkirk maybe hoping for a draw. Dundee United and Aberdeen really needing something to spark some league form and try their best to look upwards in that table. So if you've got any thoughts on that or anything else at all, you know where we are. 01419511025. I said it last night, Gordon, I feel like it's worth doing it again. Before you get into the nitty gritty, how good was the weekend? Just overall, the last couple of weeks, how good's the drama been?
Yeah, you can never predict it, Gordon. I didn't think leaving the show on Saturday night at 6 o'clock that I'd be talking about Rangers and Celtic dropping points on Tuesday. Then Hearts obviously lengthening that gap at the top of the table. It's got to be twists and turns all the way there. Even when we get to sort of the split top six, I think it'll be brilliant. A lot of difficult games in there. I had the privilege of going home and watching a real footballing exhibition on Saturday night with Motherwell. They were absolutely brilliant against St Mirren, you've got to say. All credit to Hibs and Livy, because if you'd have said to Marvin Bartley, I know that they were two up, down to 10 men, if you'd have said to him before a kick-off, we'll give you 2-2 and a point, you'd have grabbed your hand off, there's no doubt. And obviously Hibs going there a long time since he beat Celtic at Celtic Park and getting that last-minute winner. So, yes, exciting football all round, and even down the bottom of the league, you look at Kilmarnock, St Mirren, Dundee, still trying to get out of that sort of a relegation playoff 11th.
But Dundee got that fantastic result up at Pittodrie. And on the show last week, we were talking about the top three and the title race and who would be first to blink going into the weekend. I don't think anybody's seen Celtic and Rangers both losing points. Celtic obviously losing at home, and Rangers were trying to replicate Celtic down at Kilmarnock to come back from 2-0 down to go 1-3-2. Wasn't to be. They got a point in the end. How much a bigger point is that going to be come the end? And it's fantastic football again at the weekend, and I think it's just going to keep building the tension and the twists and turns, as we've spoke about in the coming weeks. It's just really exciting to see how this all plays out.
It's not the front row seat you wanted as such, but you were involved, if you like, Falkirk, well within the game at Tynecastle, but just saw a team that that got a big win.
We lost a goal at the right on the stroke at half time. I felt as if we played particularly well, especially first half. There was probably a couple of key moments where maybe decision making probably let ourselves down. Second half, Hearts done a job on us. We had a lot of the ball, but we never really created much to really go and get that equaliser. And you can see why they're there. Defensively, they were solid on the front foot. Scott Bain had to make a couple of big saves second half. We came out there disappointed, but listen, we've got to dust ourselves down. We've got another massive game against Kilmarnock coming up at the weekend, and I know you used to your tongue in cheek there talking about Dundee United and Aberdeen, but we can't really focus on that. We just need to concentrate, fully focus on ourselves as Falkirk, and go and try and get 3 points against Kilmarnock.
What would make you comfortable, Brian? What do you think? I know that you've obviously, the old cliche, you've got to take one game at a time. Many more points do you see you cement in that top six? Another 3-6 maximum?
I'm not going to get dragged into that.
Come on. Good.
Come on,
you're on here.
I like how you gave on the out and said, I know you're going to say just take one game at a team, but tell us how many points you need.
Yeah, God, can you imagine me trying to say a point tally and John McGlynn seeing me on Thursday morning? No chance of getting dragged into that.
It goes up in the Aberdeen wall tomorrow. You tell him then.
I reckon.
Nearly there?
I reckon no more. Yeah, no more than 4 or 5 will cement that, no problem. I think they're there already.
I like that. I love how you've, because with the best will in the world, you've just plucked those figures out of nowhere.
Yeah,
right. Do you know what I mean? Like four or five. What do you mean?
I went with a win and a draw and a couple of draws. Right.
A win and a draw is 4. And he's got 5.
A couple of draws. I'm trying to give him a bit of leeway here. John, phone in and tell me how many you think.
My goodness. Right. 01419511025. That's the number you need. With breaking news just before we came on, literally as I was sort of reading the headlines, I had to double check that it had gone through in time and I wasn't giving it away before it was officially announced. But there we go. Austin Trusty's appeal was dismissed. He will miss the game against Rangers. You all know the story. I think he was sent off 15 minutes to go after an incident involving Jamie McGrath at the weekend. It was at a corner. He appeared to strike the Hibs player on the arm. VAR intervened. Matthew McDermott showed him a red card. So let's get your reactions to that on 01419511025 to kick us off. I am determined to talk about actual football at some point tonight, but it can be hard. So let's go, David. First of all, hi, David.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Yeah, not bad.
What are you thinking tonight about that? Did that sort of surprise you? Did you think they would win the appeal or not? What's your thoughts?
No, I was fairly confident the appeal would be turned down. I think over the course of the season, we've seen that the officials are doing what they can to back up VAR as much as they can. But
just an accuracy point on that, David. It's entirely different. See, an appeal's just heard from a judicial panel. They're not referees. It's none of that. And further proof that that isn't the case, St Mirren won their appeal today, the exact same day. So that doesn't really stack up that way.
Yes, no, I appreciate that, but I think obviously it's part of the overall government body.
No, but that's what I'm saying. If it was all about backing that up, St Mirren wouldn't have won theirs today.
Yeah, no, to be fair, yeah, I think the difference is that St Mirren one was pretty clearly the wrong decision. There was a bit of subjectivity around the Trusty one, with some people thinking it is and some people thinking it isn't. So if there's an opportunity for them to kind of back up, I think they would tend to take that.
David, what's your opinion on it? What's your opinion on it?
My opinion on that is that it's, on a technical viewing of it, you could say it's a red card, but I don't think in the spirit of the game it should be. I think there's going to be a degree of physicality, and particularly with people, you've seen that the Motherwell boys holding the St Mirren player's arm, and obviously the Hibs boys holding Celtic player's arm. There's a degree of, if you're going to get involved in that physicality, then you can expect a bit of physicality back, maybe. And to that end, maybe it's a bit harsh to see a red card. But I do accept that, obviously, he does quite hard, I suppose, in the arms. Maybe that's where they've come at.
I think that's probably the problem, isn't it, Gordon? That David's kind of quite sensible and some different angles of it, but in the end up there, he says, I think he's probably hit him quite hard. And I think once you do that, first of all, it's quite likely you're going to get sent off, and secondly, your chances of winning an appeal seem really really small.
Yeah, they took their chance in appeal because of what's coming up at the weekend, Gordon. But I don't think anyone inside the building at Celtic really thought they were going to get that overturned.
No?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think they, look, they're quite right within their rights to take that chance to say, right, we're going to appeal it. But when you look at it over and over again, it's something that he must feel so disappointed, and so must Martin O'Neill. It was not needed. It was a force. You know, he didn't need to do it. Yes, there's grabbing at corner kicks. We see it every single game. But
to be fair, you even see that hand slap as well. It's,
yeah, it, but, it but not with, the, with the aggression.
This, yeah.
And that's where he's let himself so down what, a
you,
bit.
So you, because I've seen you, you're a grappler, not, right?
Yeah.
But you, but, so you reckon you do see that kind of get off me, but this, what you think, the closed fist and the force of it is a bit more severe than you, what you usually see?
You do see the grappling when you're really close and tight, when you're trying to get away from a defender and they're trying to hold you, you're trying to kind of push them away. But McGrath's arm's stretched out. He's not as if he's got a full hold of him. And obviously, it would have took a little slap to get his hand off, but it was the force of it. And that's why he's been red carded. As Gordon alluded to, they've obviously tried to put in that appeal to, for the Celtic Rangers game at the weekend. For Celtic, unfortunately for them, it's stood up and they can't play at the weekend. So I think they took a chance. It's not succeeded, and Celtic, I think, will just move on now.
Do you think Martin O'Neill, Gordon, behind closed doors, is angry at that? Would you be angry at the player as well? Because what we exist here, where the everybody's favourite hobby is to sort of question refereeing decisions, and we always want to go and back our own team as well. See, rather than worrying about, oh, I don't know if it was quite enough force, at what point do you say to the player, can you not do that, please? Mm. Can we just, let's not worry about force. Let's not hit anybody else, and then you don't. You know, there's no issue here.
Yeah, I'm not sticking up for Trusty, but Brian will tell you it's a nature of habit when you're in the box. If somebody's got maybe a slight hold of you, your initial thing is to get them away. Right,
but that's what Brian's saying. This felt a bit more than that.
Yeah, but McGrath's hand, he's stretched out, Gordon. So it's not really, he's not really got a right grab of him, right? But like, see if he just pushes him away, he's getting away with it, right?
See if you watch it closely.
It's the way with the close fist.
He does it at first, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That first one's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming it's the next.
It's the next one. And listen, Martin O'Neill has got to be disappointed with that. The player, I think, when he sees it back and comes off the pitch and he thinks about what's going to happen? Listen, I'm missing the biggest game ever on Sunday because that's going to be massive for both clubs. And he must be disappointed as well. And deep down inside, yes, they appealed it, but I don't think they were ever going to overturn that.
David, on one hand, he's a first pick. He's a starting player, and that has to be a blow that he's not available for the weekend. I suspect some people might say that his form's not been good necessarily anyway, but is it a miss? Is it a big problem that he misses the game at the weekend?
Yeah, I think it definitely is when you look at the alternatives. But I did have a more kind of general point,
yeah, go for
on the VAR, the use of VAR in that instance in particular. So the referee's looking directly at the incident and he blows his whistle to stop play, presumably because he's seen the incident. What then happens is he puts his hand to his ear before he's actually done anything about it. So he's not made a decision and instantly VAR involved, essentially freeing the game, because in order for VAR to become involved, there has to be a clear and obvious error. When the referee's not actually done anything yet, there's no error. It's not possible to make an error when he's not actually made a decision in the first place. So I think it just goes to that whole thing with VAR kind of taking over our refereeing and, you know, getting involved when they shouldn't be. Ultimately, if the decision is that should be a red card, then they let the referee, St. Matthew McDermott, I think, do what he's going to do, whether that be a booking or, as Martin O'Neill said, maybe speak to the players, and then they tell him that's an error. But I think it just goes to, you know, a technically incorrect use of VAR, and that's been the story of the season. I mean, we're going into the weekend now, and you can already tell there'll be at least three woeful decisions from VAR, and it's nothing against any club in particular. It's just.
But then again, you yourself said that's not a woeful decision, is it?
No, but it's the wrong use of VAR. It's the incorrect use of the tool that we have available to us. We need to let the referees referee the game.
But see if he doesn't see it fully or doesn't see the red card defence bit of it, then that is what it's there for.
But absolutely, but if you watch it back, he's looking directly at it and he instantly blows his whistle because he's going to deal with it. But VAR jumped the dice, as it were, and get involved. And I'm not saying that, you know, ultimately the right decision's not been reached, although I do think it's harsh. What I'm saying is VAR isn't used properly in Scotland, and it happens week in, week out, and it's leading to a lot of terrible decisions. And I just think VAR should be restricted to purely objective decisions like offside, and, you know, where there is something which is so blatantly obvious that's been missed. It's this kind of where you have to go in and watch replays from multiple different angles to try and assess whether or not it's the right decision. That's not what VAR should be about, in my view.
This is the problem in a nutshell, though. Because see, a lot of people listening will say, well, I thought that was blatantly obvious.
Mm-hmm.
David's saying that should only get involved if it was blatantly obvious. Some people think Austin Trusty was blatantly obvious.
Yeah, listen, I'm not a great fan of VAR now. I think it's killing the game. I really do. I know that there's an argument to say they'll probably, stats will show they'll get more right and wrong. But as a spectacle for the fans and everything, I think it is sometimes re-refereeing the games. I know what David's trying to say, and slightly David's thinking it's probably a little bit of an injustice. I think if you look at the game and you look at the incident, I don't think he's got a leg to stand in, Gordon. It's a clear red card for me.
Let's thank David and bring in Ricky for his take on it. Ricky.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking the call, Gordon.
Pleasure.
When I seen him pulling him and the Hibs guy he'd been doing, I actually thought he'd pull his arm out of the socket. That's the way he'd been doing, is that, because it must have been really painful, because he's been doing straight away. A big Trusty is like himself doing, the club doing, within what he did. You're in the opposition penalty box. You should be looking for them to foul you. No, you fouling them. Why are you wanting to wrestle with these people? Stun away from him. Let him grab you. Let him pull you about. That's what you should be doing.
So you're not impressed with Austin Trusty's part in it all then?
Of course I'm not. You're in the opposition penalty box. Why do you want... You let them tackle you. Why do you want to tackle them? Just stun away from you. The guy's pulling you. Move back. Don't even raise your arms. You should know that. Let him grab you again. Chances are you might get a penalty. Probably won't. We never need one for scales. But you should be in that penalty box, putting the pressure on them. You can leave the pressure on Hibs there. You shouldn't be doing that. You put the pressure on Hibs.
Do you think that, obviously, coming at that time in the game, think that cost Celtic potentially, Ricky?
Of course it will. It could cost us this weekend at all.
Mm.
How tight is this now, this running? And yet, we've got players that are wanting to do things. I don't know if it's a character or Trusty. Sometimes, I don't know, he's two red cards in the last couple of weeks. Now, I've never known him to get red cards before. So I don't know if it's something that's in his makeup. But he shouldn't be doing that. He should be wanting them to pull him down. Wrestle with him.
There's obviously an element of risk there as well now, isn't there? Because, listen, if you go and fly into a tackle, mistime a tackle, Ricky references his other red card, it's completely different. He's just covering across and clipped Kabore and he goes down. With ones like that, you tell us actually, Brian, as a player, are you not kind of conscious that there is VAR? So I can't take that chance, even if I thought I could get away with it before. Like, what's the...
You are conscious of it. Especially at free kicks and corner kicks, you are aware of it, but that's not going to stop the grappling. That is going to continue in the game for as many years.
This has clearly been seen as a step beyond grappling.
Yeah, it's violent conduct, they've described it as. So people sometimes maybe get away with it where the lights push, whatever, but it was the nature of the clenched fist and the force of it. That's why he's been sent off. And it's a misjudgment on his part. And I've been there myself as a player at times. Maybe caught up in the moment, maybe you're that desperate, you can see you're 1-1, you're desperate to win the game, and you forget about VAR for that split second. But it's always there and it's always watching, so you're always running the risk. If you try and do something daft, you're always running the risk. unfortunate for Austin Trusty is he's been put up in it, he's been sent off, and now he's going to serve a ban.
Because, like, it's easy for me, who has never been in that high pressure situation, and there clearly is a kind of rush of blood to the head element of it. It's easy for us now to sit and analyse it in the cold light of day, but you wonder what is the thought there. Well, I'll be okay because I didn't hit him that hard, or do you know what I mean? What, as a player, when you do that, do you think that's all
maybe
right?
He's thinking
you
get away with hit him in the arm. He thinks he'll get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
because it's not the body or the face. And maybe he's thinking, if it's just his arm, I can leave one on him a little bit and get away with it. But I think it's just the nature of the force, and that's why he's
split moment. We've all been there. You do get irritated when somebody's grabbling. Even in my day, when somebody had you were pushing them away, you're trying to get, and that's your job, because that ball's coming in and you want to go and attack it and score an important goal.
You see what Ricky's saying?
But he can't do what he's done.
Compared to other real high aggression moments, it didn't feel that. Do you see what, like, Ricky's saying? It doesn't need to be that aggressive in that moment. Just, you know, if he is grabbing you, you know, try and back away.
I don't think McGrath is aggressive. It's not like he's really,
that's what I'm saying, it's not like two guys whose heads are gone and they're raging each other.
Yeah,
it felt a bit, well, I mean, obviously it was unnecessary, hence the red card, but I don't know, because I was there working, even in the moment it just felt like,
what's he done?
Yeah,
I think everybody, I think Trusty, when he was jogging off the park, must have thought, what have I just done there? Why have I let my team down? Why have I let my manager down, the supporters, by doing that? But listen, it's that kind of the pressure now. And as Brian quite rightly says, 1-1 with Hibs, you're a threat. You're trying to get that winner. You're trying to make yourself that hero. You know how important the 3 points are. Maybe it just got away from him.
Thank you, Ricky. 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Brian Graham are here. It's 0141 951 1025. I had these notes. Obviously I think about the show all day, clearly. You know, it's the biggest privilege of my life. And I thought, do you know what, tonight will be good, because last night we had all the disciplinary stuff, and tonight let's talk about the actual football at the weekend and some of the results and the good performances and the bad performances. Then at 5:30 and 6:00, we announced 2 appeal outcomes, and on we go. So there we are. Stephen's in air. How's it going, Stephen?
Not bad, yourself?
Not bad, Stephen. Did you expect Austin Trusty to win his appeal? What do you make of the fact that he hasn't?
No, I didn't expect him to win it. I personally don't know why they put it in the first place. But it was me. Do you think if the Hibs player doesn't go down the way he goes down, do you think he are still look at it the same?
Yeah, I do. Look, because it's a straight arm, right? I can't tell you the pain that Jamie McGrath felt, but I think that'd be a sore. I think that'd be a sore, because there were a lot of force in it, and it was a clenched fist as well. So it's difficult to see what somebody would go down with. Like, Brian probably would stay up, I would go down before, you know, the force, because he's a bigger guy and obviously tougher than me. I'd have been down holding my arm.
I'd be down as well.
Exactly. That's a difficult one. I think when you look at the overall thing, you've got to either say, look, was it enough force there for a red card? In my opinion, and I don't care if Celtic, Rangers, I'm not interested, I thought it was.
Look, we're going to get to another incident, I'm sure, Brian, and there's always a conversation to be had about whether players go down too easy, whether players exaggerate it, bring attention on themselves. I'm not saying Jamie McGrath had to go down. I don't know. As Gordon says, wasn't on the receiving end of it, but I don't know if this is one of those where you put much blame against the player's reaction. I don't think he makes a massive, massive song and dance about it. And as you guys have said, it does have a lot of force, irrespective of what
We just spoke about it a minute ago about VAR, and you know it's always there, it's always in the background of your mind, and if somebody hits you, you're going down nowadays, because they're running the risk of getting themselves sent off, and you're thinking your team, and hopefully getting the other team down to 10 men.
So do you agree with Stephen then? Maybe VAR doesn't look at it if he doesn't go down?
Potentially, but at the same time, with the force, and as Gordon's just alluded to, his straight arm, I think it would have been sore as well, so I think he's got every right to go down. I know we're saying, if he doesn't go down, to VAR, have a look. But at the same time, we can't really go into that debate because he did go down.
Yeah, and this to move it slightly away to other disciplinary areas, Gordon. But now that we, you know, we do the VAR show and you hear the communication, the game has just changed, whether you like it or not. See, when, say it's a handball or whatever, you hear it in the communication. That's what they do. They say, okay, yeah, Falkirk players are claiming for a handball in the box, and then you go and look for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if it's, we've become a nation of grassies, but that's just the way it almost has to be done now, because it's there for stuff that you maybe didn't see first time or didn't see at all. So you'll hear that a lot if you watch, if you've really got a lot of time in your hands and your life's that empty and you watch those VAR reviews that we do with Willie Collum. That's what you hear in the communications all the time. They'll say, right, so a goal goes in, say, goalkeeper's claiming offside, goalkeeper's claiming. So that's not, you know, it's not unheard of. So this is just an extension of that, where a player gets a whack and goes down. I think we're, and again, we'll get to this later incident, if nothing happens to him and he goes down, that's an issue. But I don't know if we should be holding too much against Jamie McGrath here, should we?
No, I don't. I think most players would have went down, Gordon, I've got to say. But you rightly say there, we don't know. We don't know the force of it. Look, VAR's there to help the referees as well. Sometimes I think the frustration with the supporters just now is we're looking at things all the time, every single weekend, and we're thinking, is VAR re-refereeing the game?
Fine, but see, on that then, this is where I think we on the outside, as media or fans, then we've got the choice. It's one thing arguing then about decisions that we don't think are right, but most people are actually saying, do you know what, that's a red card, but maybe the Hibs player did this, or maybe VAR shouldn't have done that. I mean, we're now arguing, we're putting this much attention and time into decisions that you guys think is right anyway.
Yeah.
Does that seem like a bit of a waste of time?
I know, but it's just football, it's a big game of opinions, and not everybody's going to be of the same opinion. That's why we love this show, because there's so many different opinions.
What I'm saying is a lot of people are sort of saying, I think it probably is a red card, but X, Y and Z.
Aye, that's then becomes an issue, because we need to hold refs at their point. So if they're saying it's a red card, then goes to the appeal, which nothing to do with referees, and it still gets upheld, then the referees got to the right conclusion at the first time.
Mm. Stephen, again, you've got an issue with the way the Hibs player went down, but you're still not surprised the appeal was failed. Where does this leave Celtic without Austin Trusty? Is that a big blow?
I'm 50-50 on it, because obviously he's not been great of recent. It'll be interesting to see who he goes with, whether he goes with the new boy Benji or he goes with Murray. I'm hoping that it's Benji he goes with, just to see what he's got.
Do you think it's a problem? Sorry, Gordon's with us, Stephen. Do you think it's a problem, though, that he can't play on Thursday, Stephen? Because if he could, you play him against Stuttgart, he came on against Hibs, you play him against Stuttgart, he's then ready to play, or readier to play against.
Oh, definitely. But then it's like, every time Murray's played, he's kind of sold a goal. So it's like, can you afford to do that next Sunday?
Hindsight's amazing, Gordon.
I think that's a big problem with the Celtic fans, right? I think if they had, say, a Welsh who's been brilliant for Motherwell, still at Celtic Park, I don't think they'd be that upset. Because Trusty hasn't been brilliant. Let's be honest about it. The two at the back haven't been brilliant.
I know, but at the same time with Trusty, is what they're going to miss with him is his pace at the back. That's the big issue here, because he sometimes would cover for Scales and sometimes would get Celtic out of jail because his pace got away with it.
I think he used his pace to run away from Trinity, exactly, when he was bursting into the box last time.
He was all over the place. Me personally, I'm looking at their personnel, right? I don't know if he's now thinking, could Tierney get in there at left centre back?
Yeah, Roger said this last night.
What
do you think that does for Rangers? Because what's one of Rangers' biggest threats?
Right, but hold, well, here's my argument about that. You've got to say height.
Corners.
Right.
Height,
right, okay, set plays, you've got to defend set plays. But height going, for instance, maybe playing a ball from the full-back up there. I sat and watched Stephen Welsh and McGinn dominate Chermity in there.
A bit Motherwell are different. Right. Motherwell are different
and,
gravy.
I know. And let me tell you now, they're not the biggest two centre-halves I've ever seen in my life. So I'm not really concerned about that.
Good point, I'll give you.
I think Tierney's a good, experienced guy. He's played there
before.
You see
the point I'm making? At the time, it seemed like it was sensible. You don't need to put Arthur in the the European squad, you probably won't need him. Do you think tonight Martin Neil kind of wishes he was in it, and then you can play him against?
Then you've got options, yeah, of course.
Because if it is going to be Dean Murray on the weekend, Dean Murray needs to play against Stuttgart as well, probably then. But maybe would have anyway if Celtic are playing this sort of resting players with the tie gone.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Dean Murray's not playing on Thursday night. We have you, obviously, to look at him for Sunday.
Would you not bring him on for the last half an hour in case he gets an injury because you're fed better at the back?
I know what you're saying, but I think you've got to get that wee bit more sharpness into him. You guys live in a different world now from what I did. In football, you are pampered all the time. but I think him personally would like a bit of... I know what you're saying, an injury. He could get an injury training tomorrow, right? We've been there. I think you've got to get him up to speed with the view to say, right, it's an option for me. Me personally, I think Tierney gives you that balance in the left-hand side as well. I know that Scales probably...
That'd be three left-footers in the left.
Yeah, I know Scales would have to go there, but I think experience, especially at Ibrox, and I like Sarachi. I like him down the left-hand side. I think he's decent. So I think you've okay apart from your balance of the right footer.
Again, Stephen, we should stop using Motherwell as the example because they just do weird things and get away with it. I think, did they not play four right backs against Hibs early in the season? So it was four right footers. So you know, it can be done.
Yeah, and you're putting Tierney in there, who's played. I know he's played in a three with Scotland.
Right, that was an unsuccessful appeal for Austin Trusty. There was a successful one for Richard King of St Mirren. I don't think it surprises too many. Ian is a St Mirren fan. How are you, Ian?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. I take it you were you never can totally tell with appeals, can you? But I take it you were expecting or hoping for good news anyway.
So I thought that it was a disgraceful decision on Saturday night. And it's becoming more and more relevant in football. I thought Callum Slattery dived, right? And yeah, it's great that Richard King is now available, but in my opinion, Callum Slattery should now be banned for the game that King would have been banned for. It was just a blatant dive. But over and above that, what is concerning me more and more as I watch football, I was at Tannadice, for example, last season when none needed to win, and in the first 15-20 minutes, every time a Dundee United player was tackled, they went down, and that was it. You know, stop, play stop. It was the same again on Saturday. You know, there's a slight touch, player just dives, and the referees just turn around and say, okay, stop the game. The bit for me that I still don't understand is that referee did not see the actual incident. He was looking the other way. The game had played on. He was looking the other way. Now, the chap that I spoke to, your researcher, he said that it was the fourth official that saw it. And because he saw it, that was why it did not get referred to VAR. Now, my question, and a bit I don't understand, is if the referee didn't see it, then it was the fourth official and potentially a linesman, which would have been if it had been the referee and a linesman, it would have gone to VAR. So what was different?
No, it did go. There's a kind of half truth in there. So everything goes to VAR. You know, this notion that some things just don't, they all do. Where Ian's right, and this is, I think, one of the biggest issues that VAR has worldwide, just anywhere. The whole point of this clear and obvious thing. And then it becomes really important who gives that decision first. Clearly, see if the ref... Well, the ref didn't see it. Ian's right. See if the fourth official says nothing and the linesman says nothing. Richard King is not getting sent off, is he, on VAR review? VAR is not going to look at that and send him off. But it then gets flipped the other way. The fourth official says something, the assistant says it, so the decision's given on field. And then, look, I'm not saying I agree with this, but it becomes a different test where Nick Walsh has to look at the pictures and say, right, I need to be able to tell 100% that there's no contact there. Now, I know most people feel like they can, but I don't know. I didn't think the cameras were particularly good. I thought they could have been better.
Yeah.
But, and then you go round in circles on it, because what do we say? Do we say we actually, you don't want officials to make, do you know what I mean? You don't. If the official don't make the decision in the first place, he's not getting sent off. VAR is never sending him off there.
The official on that side had a great view of that. Mm-hmm. Right, he's got to.
So that's what I'm saying. He thinks there's been contact for whatever reason.
Right, he's got a great view on that. I'm not interested in I stick up for the referees. I love them.
Oh, it's not a red card. Right. I mean, obviously.
No, I don't care if that referee's seen it or not. I don't think he would be able to make a decision. He was standing next to Gogic and he gave him a red card, which was obviously never a red card in a million years. I thought the officials at the weekend at that game were terrible.
But see that one though, I think that is exactly what it's there for. He thinks he catches him in the ankle. So he sends him off. Replay shows he catches him in the foot. So you rescind it. I think that's fine.
They're never going to be perfect.
I think that's fine.
But I know what you're saying, Gordon. But his sight of it is very good, and he must have looked at that. You can see that for the first tackle, and you know that's not a red card. There's never a red card.
And then as soon as you catch an ankle, it tends to be.
But we'll get back to the one that Ian was saying, and I totally agree. Slattery is a fantastic football player. There's no need for that in our game. I hate it. I think it's. I'm not for it at all. Now, I said earlier, I thought that he's got a little bit of previous. I'm sure something happened to Fir Park as well, and he was involved with it, and he went down very, very easily. And I thought, you don't need to do that. He's too good a footballer for me. Do your talking on the pitch with the ball and everything. You don't need to do that. I thought it was unfair. Would it have changed the game? Never in a million years. You could have brought another two on and Motherwell would still beat St Mirren 5-0. But I just do not like it. I'd love that stamped out of our game. It's not for me, that.
Because Ian asks the question about, I think Slattery should now be banned. So there's no kind of automatic mechanism there. There's nothing to say that Slattery now gets banned. What you need to do is the compliance officer, who you don't hear very much from anymore, because VAR's been in.
They've still got one.
But because VAR's been introduced, it's kind of. You don't hear too much. They would then need to go through a separate disciplinary process. There's no automatic, believe it or not, there's no automatic guilt now on Slattery's part because King's been exonerated. Nah, I think it still could. I'm not saying it's going to, but just because it's Tuesday doesn't.
I know, but if that was the case, that would be kind of sorted Monday afternoon.
Nah, I don't know if that's a fast track thing though, where you would immediately hear. Like I say, because it's a totally different process.
We only get there at 6 o'clock tonight, so it could still happen. But at the same time, I think it'd be harsh on the boy Slattery as well.
Why though? If it's as bad as Ian and Gordon feel,
because the boy threw his hand up, and I know it's not a red card. By the way, before MD shoots me down here, but at the same time, as I said to you earlier, people will go down if there's contact, so he's anticipating that contact, and maybe that's why
he takes 2-3 steps and then decides.
I've watched this game nowadays.
John Wayne getting a bullet and getting down quickly as that. I've got to say, I'm all for a boy. I think he's a brilliant footballer, but that to me, I just don't like seeing it. It's not for me at all.
I agree with you with that scenario, but I think the game has went soft now because of VAR. People, as soon as there's a bit of contact, people will go down very easily.
And what I hate about this is Motherwell, instead of getting all the plaudits for their football and everything, everybody, social media as well, everything's focused on this instead of focusing on how great Motherwell were.
Ian, you're all along the same mindset as Gordon Dale. I don't know how that makes you feel, but thank you to Ian and Greenock for bringing it up with us tonight. Keep the calls coming after I tell you about this. Clyde One. Imagine ending this month with an extra £500,000 in your bank account. See all this, all your worries you've got about your red cards and yellow cards and VAR. How much perspective would that be put into with £500,000 landing in your bank? Well, that's what's up for grabs with Make Me A Winner this Friday. Andrew won big last week and he's going to spend the cash on his granddaughter on an overdue holiday. That sounds good to me. So 61025, text the word yes to that number. Yes to 61025, text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk where you'll find all the rules for this network competition, or call 03434 269 340. Calls all charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. Somebody wins the lot. It might as well be you. Text yes to 61025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Gordon DL are here at 0141 951 1025. Actually, quite a big game tonight. I know Brian Graham will be keeping an eye on Dundee United. Aberdeen, he says he hopes they draw. And if you missed that bit earlier, in the show. It was great because Gordon Dalziel was trying to make Brian say, how many points do Falkirk need to make the top six? Brian wouldn't tell him, didn't want to get in trouble from his manager, and his manager texted him and told him how many points, but we're sworn to secrecy.
Yeah,
well, no sworn to secrecy.
15 more, and that should do it anyway. Right, 01419511025. I just don't want to get you or anybody else in trouble. I don't trust myself. Keep the calls coming in. A bit of disciplinary drama tonight with one successful appeal for Richard King, one unsuccessful for Austin Trustee. It's totally killed my hope that we would just talk about the football from the weekend. But I suppose the big talking points are the big talking points, no matter where they come from. Kenny is a Celtic fan. What's on your mind tonight, Kenny?
Good evening, guys. How are we?
Yeah, you good, thank you. Good. What are you thinking?
It was just a call regarding the Celtic fans that came on yesterday, if that's okay.
Go for it.
I know a lot of people are thinking if Celtic lose the derby on Sunday, the league's over. But I feel if Celtic do lose the derby, and I'm not saying they will, but if they do lose the derby on Sunday, I still feel like we can win the title. Because I've got 100% faith in Martin O'Neill. And if you think about it, after the split, Hearts are still coming to Celtic, and I think Hearts have got to play Rangers one more time. So who says from now to the end of the season that Hearts and Rangers doesn't drop points and Celtic can pick up points?
Oh, listen, you're absolutely right, Kenny, in terms of the potential number of twists and turns. But hypothetically then, if, well, some of this is fact already, if Celtic lose heavily to Stuttgart, lose at home to Hibs, let's say they lose again to Stuttgart because they rest their team, I don't know, and you've said lose to Rangers, four defeats in a row potentially, and your faith in Martin O'Neill winning the title would stay at 100%. At what point do you then say, listen, Martin O'Neill's a legend and all that stuff, but it's not necessarily his fault. But at what point do you sort of say, okay, well, he's lost these games, so maybe he's not a miracle worker?
But if you think about it, I know this is in the past, but see if you look to 2008 and 2009, the year that Tommy Burns passed, God rest his soul, Celtic were 25 points behind Rangers, and Rangers started losing games and Celtic started winning games, and they took it down to the last game of the season and they beat Dundee United 1-0. I was at the game, and believe you me, I was celebrating, and Rangers lost to Aberdeen. Now, who says that doesn't happen again?
Oh, but this is the thing, Gordon. It depends what you're saying. Nobody's saying it's impossible. Of course it's not impossible. Of course it could happen. But what I'm querying here is this notion that potential rut, because that's a real potential. I know I'm doing the old sort of Hugh Keevens ifs, buts if they lose all these games. But those two defeats are locked in already. The Stuttgart and Hibs defeated. Is Endy expecting much from Thursday, given what's at stake? And it was Kenny who says, even if we lose, so I'm not, you know, saying Celtic will lose to Rangers. But so if we get to Sunday, does it not, and Celtic have lost again, does it not become about more than just what the arithmetic says? Does it not become about where are this Celtic team? What's their performance level? What's their potential?
Yeah, and added to that, you look back at the ones that have won in the last couple of minutes and stuff like that. And listen, that's what football is all about. I agree with Kenny slightly, right? In the sense that if Celtic to go to Ibrox and lose, then are they completely out of the title race? No, they're not. But I think it'd be a real difficult job for them, especially the way that they're losing games, their form, everything about them, because they've got Aberdeen. I think Aberdeen in their other fixture, their
game in hand.
Yeah, game in hand.
See, just quickly,
Pittodrie,
very quickly, just to link something, because I didn't provide the full detail earlier. So, see, Austin Trustee, it's a 3-match ban because it's his second red of the season. He can play in the cup though against Rangers, but it means he misses league games against Rangers, Aberdeen, and Motherwell.
Yeah,
just adding that in, I'm not saying.
Yeah,
that.
Listen, I think that if they lose at the weekend, if they win their game in hand and Aberdeen win and whatever you have to say, I still think that title is there if Celtic can go and grasp it. Would I be confident? Absolutely not. The way they're playing and everything about them just now, I don't think a lot of Celtic fans would be confident if they lost at the weekend. So it's a big weekend for them, but I wouldn't completely rule them out, but it'd be a long way back.
The way the top six is this year, it's going to be so competitive. If Celtic are only 6 points behind getting into the split, they're still not out of it, because every team's going to drop points. It's quite a unique season where we find ourselves in Scottish football, where we have got so many good teams at the moment, and it's providing us with entertainment, and it's fantastic to sit back and watch at times, because we just don't know what's going to happen.
Thank you very much to Kenny. It takes us up nicely to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, forget all the big games that are still to come. We've got a big game right here, right now. Bragging rights, the reputations of Gordon Dalziel and Brian Graham, and more importantly, the sign ball or Beat the Pundit coin, all on the line. If you want to play Beat the Pundit, you need to call before 7 o'clock, and hopefully we'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Gordon Dalziel are here at 0141 951 1025. So get in touch and let us know what you are thinking tonight. Austin Trusty lost his appeal at about 10 seconds past 6, which is perfect timing for us. We had a bit more warning for Richard King of St Mirren. He won his appeal, so if you want to keep going with those, you can do. Or maybe the second hour's a nice junction where we move on and talk about the title race and the form and the momentum and who's in the driving seat and who's confident and who's not. Because I feel like after a blockbuster weekend, we've not really had that much of a chance to do it, because we had Mikey Moore and inside the box and outside the box and Dogzo and appeals and all that sort of stuff. Scottish football, it's got too much drama for us, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So get in touch with whatever it is you fancy. We have a big game in the Premiership tonight, a couple in the Championship as well. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. 6-1 win for Andy Halliday last night. He was
6-1.
On fire. Yeah, he really was on fire. Real mixed bag for you last week. You had two tiebreakers.
Nah, 1-1,
lost one.
Yeah, disappointed week.
Okay.
I'd start it off well. Tuesday's usually good. I'm usually on fire on a Tuesday, but I get tired by Thursday.
You feed come the end of the week.
Yeah, I need to get my stamina up.
Hear about Roger Hanna?
Did he fade?
No, he never fades. He was in Lidl in Livingston at the weekend.
Right, okay.
And someone confused him for you.
Oh, amazing.
Roger Hanna.
Look how annoyed he is.
What? The heed, Roger Hanna.
Well, hold on. He was offended, and now you're acting offended.
Well, listen, he was offended.
Oh, he's not happy.
Oh, I tell you what. One, I can't believe that. Yeah, yeah. I'm stunned with that. Roger Hanna.
You know, there's a Lidl right at the stadium at Livingston.
I don't care what Lidl is.
I'm trying to paint the picture. Yeah. He was going to the game, he was at the tilt, and two guys next to him, and someone went, "There's that Gordon Dalziel."
Nah, he's out.
I'm serious.
He's just trying
to
be me.
In fact,
he's trying to be me.
And I'll tell you why.
He's running about shouting his name.
I've actually got further proof, because I forgot about this. Somebody, the guilty parties, actually messaged me after hearing it in the show last night. Where is it? There we go. WJW, whoever that is on Instagram, slid into my DMs. Send my apologies to Roger.
Oh,
me and my mate up in Livingston Lidl.
I'm not having that.
Not send my apologies to Gordon.
I'm at a car with five guys playing, have it beat the Pundit.
Send my apologies to Roger.
Roger Hanna.
Is it because he's a lot younger than you, though?
Roger Hanna's ugly.
That's not nice.
He is. He's never seen a gym door in his life. Right. Have a look at the guy.
All right, George Clooney.
Exactly.
Sitting over
putting
there.
Me up against him. You know what I mean?
See what you've started.
I won't sleep tonight.
You're a lot older than him, though.
That doesn't matter.
Come on, Mr. Vane here. He's raging.
Honestly. Roger Hanna.
You think he was sitting there like some sort of.
Why was he in Lidl for
modern,
buying some
Mr.
clothes?
James Bond.
He's buying his gear for a Saturday night.
Oh, listen to Gok Wan there. He's all his new jumpers that he's been buying. Is that a new one? Is that a new jumper you're wearing? It looks new.
Bought it today.
That's right. Do you know why I can tell? You can still
the
see
tag's
where,
still
no,
on.
You can see where the coat hangers be.
Exactly.
Still okay. Get that bit in the shoulders. Caroline is on Beat the Pundit. How are you, Caroline?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. Have you ever played this before?
Nope.
Do you tend to do okay playing at home?
No bad. About five.
What?
Five? No bad.
Which is playing you, Dazzler, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Right, let's toss the coin and we'll find out. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be Brian Graham. If it's the red side, it will be Gordon DL. Are you happy, both of you?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, let's see where we end up tonight. It's George Clooney himself.
Oh, no.
You happy Caroline. With that, Caroline?
Yep.
Hold on, I get Roger Hannes, he done.
That's who I wanted.
Is it?
Is that Caroline?
Because he's the weakest.
No, I love him.
Oh no! After that big
there
build
you
up,
go.
Do you know the word?
I'll tell you what, I bet she doesn't think I look like Roger Hannes.
I wasn't, I almost fell off my chair there. Like, seriously, not metaphorically. I leaned back a bit far and. Caroline, don't stroke that ego anymore. Right, let's give him something
wish you all the best, Caroline.
To listen to. 30 seconds on the clock, Caroline. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay? Right, your 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which former Rangers manager scored for the club on this day in 2018?
Ferguson.
Which English team did Sean Maloney play for after his second Celtic spell?
In.
Who, sorry?
In.
Celtic interim chairman Brian Wilson shares his name with the singer of which band? Brian Wilson.
Wait.
Name any Scotland player who was capped after the age of 40.
McGregor.
Okay, let's bring him back. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your problem? What are you throwing your
time,
arms up
time,
at?
Time. Tell you. I'll give you £1 if you can tell me who sang that song.
No chance.
Tiger Feet. Come on.
No chance.
Mud.
Way before my era.
That a favourite of yours, is
oh,
it?
That's
right up your street.
Yeah, old classic. Okay. Right, let's go.
Let's go. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time, same questions, starts now. Which former Rangers manager scored for the club on this day in 2018?
Barry Ferguson.
Which English team did Sean Maloney play for after his second Celtic spell?
Wigan.
Celtic interim chairman Brian Wilson shares his name with the singer of which band?
Catch a Goo. Don't know.
Name any Scotland player who was capped after the age of 40.
Craig Gordon.
Before Sunday, in what decade did Livy last score twice against Rangers?
26.
That's the last thing as well.
What did you just say there? I
26.
26 what?
26.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
Oh. What do you mean? What do I mean? What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What decade? And you just said
2006.
That's not a decade.
What did you ask me?
Oh, right, right. Turn him off. Turn him off and back on again. He's malfunctioned and I can't handle it. Which former Rangers manager scored for the club on this day, 2018?
Russell Martin.
You both went Barry Ferguson. It's Russell Martin, believe it or not. Jamie Murphy also scored in a 2-0 win against Hearts. So there we go. None of you got it. Which English side did Sean Maloney play for after his second Celtic spell? It was Wigan. I think Caroline said that as well. I couldn't quite hear her. But
oh,
yeah,
hold
did.
On. Nah, I was, don't mind.
She did say Wigan.
Did you, Caroline?
Dead.
She did. 2011 to 2015. So it's 1-1. I'm surprised that you're here because you've just shown off your music knowledge. And I'm not good with music
Wilson.
At all. Music doesn't really do. I've not got good music knowledge.
Is that the lead singer of
the Beach Boys? Brian Wilson.
Ah, Caroline, did you get that?
No.
That's ridiculous. What a stupid question that is.
I thought you would get that. Because even I know that, and honestly, my music knowledge is not great.
I'm not a big Beach Boys fan.
Right, okay. Well, neither am I, to be honest.
Right, what is it? Oh, this is terrible.
Name any Scotland player who was capped after the age of 40. You had the choice of Jim Leighton, David Weir, Craig Gordon...
Caroline gone as
not
well.
Not Alan McGregor, Caroline, I'm afraid. Oh, so Gordon goes 2-1 in front.
No, but you're bokeh next.
Before Sunday, in what decade did
2006 is the last Beatle.
Honestly. That's not a decade, first of all, right? Mm. So you would say 2000s.
Right, the 90s or the 80s or the 70s, you've got to say, but 2006 was the last time, is it not?
Right. The answer I was looking for is 2000s.
There you go.
No, because it was
2006.
But it was 2005 anyway.
Well, it was 2005. Are you telling me I'm not getting that?
Right, I'm so confused. On what grounds? On what grounds could you possibly get that?
What was the decade? What's your answer?
Right, hold on. A quick recap. I said, what decade did Livi last score twice against Rangers? You said 26, right?
2006, 2000s.
But you didn't say that.
That's what I meant. Indy Quizmaster would accept that.
Caroline didn't get it. You've won anyway.
All right, okay.
Caroline,
unlucky.
Rubbish.
Five
or a six.
That,
to be honest.
I think you were just excited playing me, Caroline. If you come on against Roger Hannah and people are, you'll probably get five and sixes. Your wee heart was fluttering away there.
What are you thinking as a Rangers fan just now, Caroline? Are you feeling confident about winning the league? Even after the weekend?
Yep, definitely. Good faith.
What did you make of the weekend? Just one of those days?
Just one of the days. Bad luck.
It was quite interesting, Gordon, because tensions are high. And any drop points are not good. And it's the third in a row that Rangers have dropped away from home. And it was against the team bottom of the league. But it wasn't. It's one of those ones. You play that game again, Rangers win it, don't they? In terms of
yeah, plenty of chances, stats, plenty of shots, plenty of stats. But that doesn't matter, Gordon. I think if you're going to be real favourites to go and win, you've got to go and win the games. You know, you look at Livingston and Big Mars went in there. The organisation's a lot better and everything about him. I'm not having a go at Davies. Just sometimes it's a different voice, gives them a little bit more about them, tweaks one or two things in the system, helps or whatever it may be. But you've got to be beating Livingston, who's not won a game since August the 9th. In the long run, that might come back to bite them. You don't know. But there's a lot of games to be played. Obviously, I keep changing. I'm a little bit like Shugley now. I'm looking at this league and I'm looking at Hearts now thinking, well, where would your last penny go? Right now, Hearts look okay. You know, you look at their running up until the split. There's no easy games because added to these games is pressure.
Shanklin coming back. Once he's back, Devlin, for Hearts as well.
Yeah,
and Devlin.
Yeah.
They're going to be massive for them.
Devlin's soon. Yeah, he's first, isn't he?
Yeah, so he's been absolutely brilliant for him. So all of a sudden, things are swaying towards Hearts a little bit. But once again, we'll be seeing it every single week in this programme. It'll change all the time. And I still don't care who loses at the weekend. I wouldn't write them off, especially if it was Celtic.
What else did you take away? And maybe, in fact, Rangers fans, give us a call right now on this. What else did you take away from the weekend? To kind of repeat what I said earlier, and this is not a criticism, it was a massive talking point, but last night we only really spoke about should Cammy Kerr have been sent off, and I think kind of most people now think it was outside the box, not everybody, you know, that was the dominant talking point. What about the other stuff, you know, what about the sort of who played well or who didn't play well and what might be a concern for Rangers or what is heading in the right direction? What did you take away from the football side of the thing?
The football side, obviously Rangers dominate it a lot, but they've still got the Achilles heel for me. I know that when he came in at first, he shored up the defence because that was needing fixed, but they still look like, I still fancy that teams can score against them. You know,
fair, the first goal Livingston scored was a fantastic hit.
Yeah, but if you're defending that, I think if
did
you're
drop
a coach,
quick enough.
Yeah, I think you're a coach a little bit, but take nothing away. You're totally right. And then the second goal, they're all running out and they don't spot the danger, and it's just a little lovely reverse pass into him, and he finishes it brilliant. I think Rangers have got that in their locker to lose goals. That would be my concern. I didn't think Suter had his best game at the weekend. Going down to 10 men, obviously, for Rangers, for Livingston, helped Rangers. There's no doubt about that, because obviously they sit very deep and invite Rangers onto them. And Fernandes, what can you say about his strike? That's unstoppable. Absolutely brilliant. That's him up to about six goals or something, isn't it? He's scoring a few goals for Rangers. Look, it's all there. And then people are now thrown into the mix. Can Motherwell upset one of the big three and get into third and even look at second?
What do you think Danny Rule will take away from it, Brian? I take it, you know, because as we said, a lot of possession, a lot of chances, crosses, corners, etc. How much weight will he give to that, and how much will he look at the things they didn't do well?
No, I think we're coming to the stage now of the season where it's excuse me, it's about winning football matches, and I think he would disappointed. Obviously, he's going to a team that's bottom of the league. We've got to give Big Marv credit. The goalkeeper's put off a couple of great saves. They've scored two fantastic goals. Obviously, once they go down to the 10 men, Livingston, then Rangers are obviously pushing. They get the equaliser. And then a bit of added time at the end of the game as well. But Rangers just couldn't go over the line. And coming out of Livingston at the weekend, Rangers will be bitterly disappointed not to take all 3 points. They probably deserved it when you go over the stats and stuff like that, but at the end of the game when it finishes 2-2, stats don't matter.
Let's bring in a Hearts fan and see how he's feeling after the weekend. Chris, it was another weekend that boosted your chances, surely?
Aye, definitely, mate. Definitely. How you doing, boys?
Good, thank you. Good.
Aye. I was, before I make my point about Hearts, I was listening last night, like all the Rangers fans phoning up moaning, saying that the decision on Sunday cost them the league. Like, Rangers should have like 5 or 6 points less than what they've got right now. Like, the Motherwell penalty at Ibrox, the Livingston penalty at Ibrox, which more than likely would have ended in draws, because they were towards the end of the game. Like, they've short memories,
I said it to the caller last night, though. I don't think any team should do this any way around, because then Chris has just kind of made the point. If a Rangers fan says, oh, that Livy decision could cost us a league, a Livy fan phones back and says, well, look at the handball that we didn't get against Emmanuel Fernandez. And then Hearts fans say, oh, we should have got that decision against Falkirk. But Falkirk say, yeah, but we should have got that. Like, you're wasting your time.
Yeah, every team in the league could go through those.
Don't get me started on the disallowed goal Motherwell got at home with Falkirk a couple of months ago. Do you know what I mean, Brian?
Don't know what you're talking about.
So every team have got a gripe about what's happened to them and could have had more points or whatever. You've got to live in the here and now, and that's the most important thing.
Oh, very philosophical.
Yeah, you've got to. There's no point looking in the past. That's dead. It's gone.
Right, okay.
Right, so it's all about the here and now and what happens in the future.
Especially when we present some of them as fact and say, ah, but you get away with this one, but people might not agree with that either. And then you just round and round you go, and nobody will ever enjoy their football ever again. Chris, what was your thoughts then about Hearts in the title race at the moment?
Aye, so obviously I was buzzing there about the results over the weekend and that. Like, we're in a fantastic position there, but the only thing that's putting a wee stopper at my excitement about obviously dreaming about winning the league is, like, I just feel in a way we're sort of in the same boat as Celtic now, where we're winning games, but we're not playing well, we're scraping them. Like, we're scraping by, like obviously you saw Celtic scraping by. But sooner or later, that's going to catch up with you, and like, you're going to come a cropper. And like, all you need to do is look at Celtic Hibs at the weekend there, and that's the reality of that situation.
What do you think, Gordon? Like, is there? Sorry, Chris, carry on.
So I was just going to say, I feel Hearts like now, like with all the pressures of like leading the league and that, like towards the title, like it's just worrying, because like at the start of the season, like we were playing like our own game, and like we were flooding players forward, we were attacking, packing out the box, but see now and that, it just feels like we're too scared to like go forward because we don't want to concede. Like, the team's like proven like it has the ability to like beat teams in the league comfortably, and it's no good like drawing 0-0 and like you're coming up to the 90th minute looking for the goal, or like you're just 1-0 up and you're under pressure. Like, it can't be nice for the players, Like, I'd just like to see us like sort of playing our game again, like what we were doing at the start of the season,
Yeah, I think if every supporter would like to go out and get entertained and score 3 or 4 goals. Look, there's added pressure. Hearts have never, well, it's a long time since I've been in this situation. And right now, you look at Hearts, they'll never get a better chance of winning this league. I was the exact same as Chris, and I've said it probably and thought it probably months ago that Hearts, I'm just waiting for them to fall away. They've been top of the league for 20-odd weeks. You know, when do they fall away? And by the way, they're up there in merit. There's no doubt about that. We've touched on it. They're starting to get some of their big hitters back. They're important players. I totally agree in the fact that they're in a real good position, Hearts. I think they really are getting up to the split. But I still think there'll be a few twists and turns. Am I saying that Hearts are going to win the league? I still don't think they will.
So
I understand what you're saying, whether the players are nervous and maybe not playing as on the front foot as they did at the beginning of the season, but we're now at the tail end of the season where the players of Hearts, Celtic, Rangers, they will be nervous. So I think it's your job as a supporter, especially at the home games. And by the way, the supporters will be nervous as well because they're so desperate for it. So it's trying to create that environment within the stadium to back, really going back the players, because that will go a long way down the road to try to get Hearts over the line.
Every team, obviously, winning's good, but then winning by 4 and 5 is better.
Comfortable.
Would you be, if you were looking at you, because you're saying you're not quite sure if Hearts win the league, if they could start winning in a more convincing fashion? It seems really unfair to say that. This team's been top of the league for 20 odd weeks. You know, you don't do that by accident, so it's not about taking anything away. But so what makes you not sure then? Is that the next bit? Do you not think this is sustainable? Why?
No, I just think that the split's going to be so, so important. I think that's the split just now, the top six where it sits, right? And I think there are so many difficult games in there, and you see the finishing line, of course, the pressure. Celtic have been through it many times. Rangers obviously have been there as well. Hearts, I think, will feel the pressure a little bit more because they've deservedly been at the top of the league, and this year they've been brilliant, you've got to say. I just think it'll be down to who holds their nerve. Look, Hearts people were saying, oh, you know, we didn't play particularly well. I listened to Brian's manager, John McGlynn, who listens to the show, and John says after the game that Hearts deserved to win the game. They dominated most of the game. And John is the most honest guy I've ever met in football. He's absolutely been brilliant for football.
You've seen that because you know he's listening because he texts Brian earlier.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a call. I'm hoping for
a freebie.
Yeah, John, I'm available most midweeks as well for a hospitality.
Heard it was Ladies' Day on Saturday and he wants to go along.
Right, on that note, thank you to Chris. Just quickly, Chris, you're from Livingston, is that right?
Yeah.
You went in the local Lidl at the weekend and got Gordon DL mixed up with Roger Hannah, were you? Wasn't you?
No, that wasn't me.
You choked in your coffee there. Thank you, Chris, on the line. 01419511025. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Brian Graham are here. It's 01419511025. I want your leftover thoughts from the weekend in terms of where it leaves all the teams, who's got the momentum, what the predictions are looking like now after some more twists and turns, all that stuff. Let's do that in the second hour after some disciplinary news we had earlier on. I've got a good teaser for you. It's quite extensive. Get your thinking caps on. From 26.
Yeah, that's 2000s.
Let's do the question.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Stephen from Scunthorpe has sent it in, and thanks to Arcaplan Glasgow, our new sponsors, for helping us out as well. Can you name the last player from each Premiership club to be sent off?
Trusty.
I know it's 12 answers, but you'll get a few of them quite quickly because they were recent, so Trusty, yes.
Come on, Brian.
Henderson.
Falkirk, yes.
King.
Simon Murray, Dundee.
Yep, and Richard King. Do you know what? I'm looking at this list. You don't need to go back far at all for lots of them, but let's leave it there. Thanks to Stephen and Scunthorpe emailing the question in full time at Clyde1.com. Tony is a Celtic fan on the line. Sum up how you're feeling as a Celtic fan at the moment, Tony.
How you doing, panel? Okay?
Yeah, very good. You?
Not too bad, thanks. I'm not as confident as some of the previous callers. There was someone on a couple of phone calls ago that said they were very confident because Martin O'Neill was leading the team. I see a lot of flaws in this Celtic team at the moment. I see a lot of weaknesses in and out of possession. I think we're very easy to play through at the moment. So I just wanted to maybe discuss how I would line up against Rangers at the weekend.
Oh, I like the sound of that. Keep us hanging a minute. Tease us, because I wanted to reflect a bit on what you said there, where Tony thinks that, you know, there are flaws and not so sure that it's just magic Martin and Neil can fix it. Again, what did you make of the weekend? Because all we've done since then is talk about Austin Trusty, Liam Scales, then the Trusty appeal. It was a big game. It was a huge game and a huge result. And, you know, it's 7:30 Tuesday night. All we've done again is sort of just talk about the other side of it. What did you make of the match?
I thought if it had finished 1-1, I think Hibs would have deserved it. Everybody talks about the changing with the sending off, but you can go back and say, well, Motherwell got a man sent off against Rangers and still went on and scored and got a draw out of it.
Still just generally speaking, harder though, isn't it? You just leave an extra gap somewhere.
Yeah, but you're home.
And I've told you before, stop using my
Motherwell. Yeah, because they're different. Yeah. Look, I don't think Celtic are at their fluent best, I've got to say.
Do you think that result was coming because of the late show in previous games? But then again, it's not like they weren't terrible against Hibs, were they?
No, I'm not. I'm not too concerned. I know people were concerned about, oh, they're leaving it late. At the end of the day, it's from the first whistle to the last whistle.
No, no, but there's a school of thought, obviously, that it's not sustainable. Right. Like, nobody scores a late winner every game, you know, throughout a season.
Where I worry for Celtic fans is I think they're putting too much faith in Martin O'Neill.
Exactly, because see, when it was 11 v 11, it wasn't as if the Hibs goalkeeper was making save after save and it was a barrage towards the Hibs goal, because Hibs were still well in the game.
Yeah, I think this... Martin O'Neill is a fantastic football manager and a great motivator, man manager, and, you know, he's brilliant for Celtic first time round and just now. But Martin O'Neill, everybody's thinking, right, everything's okay. No matter what happens to Celtic just now, everything's okay. Martin O'Neill will sort it. You've got to have the tools to sort it. I thought Celtic just now, looking at their transfer window in January, I don't think they've had the greatest.
I thought Chaiwa in the middle of the park was very good for Hibs.
He was absolutely brilliant.
Here's the thing, heard a wee suggestion.
Celtic were...
More than a suggestion.
Celtic were interested.
Celtic tried to sign him on deadline day, Miguel Chaiwa from Hibs.
Yeah.
Seems to have gone under the radar a bit, but...
It'd have been a real good signing for him. And obviously with the fact that now Trust is suspended for those games, leaves him a problem at the back. But then, if I look at the other side of the city, I look at Rangers at times and I think, right, they've done great in the transfer window, spent money, they look like the real deal, and then they go to Livingston and
draw. Right, Tony, come on, I'm desperate to know then what the flaws are and how you're going to fix them.
Well, when I watch Celtic at the moment, do you know when you watch a game or you watch your team, it just doesn't look right? For me, it just doesn't look right. There's not... I just get a bad feeling about it. We look weak in midfield. And I know during the transfer window, everybody was talking about how badly Celtic needed strikers and wingers in. But for me, our weakest area of the pitch is the middle of the park, because we're easy to play through. Out of possession, there's big distances between the midfielders. I watched them against Kilmarnock last week. Kilmarnock were playing out for the back quite comfortably. Hibs in stages were playing out quite comfortably as well. So the midfield's going to be massive against the Rangers at the weekend. I think off of the top of my head, the last four or five Old Firm games, the midfield's been dominated by Raskin and Diamande, and I think it's going to be key for Celtic to get control of that in there. So yeah, my lineup would be a wee bit different for the Old Firm at the weekend. I'm not sure if you want to hear that.
Oh, come on, Tony, full lineup for us on a Tuesday. I like it. Go on.
So I know that it's not going to be this lineup, but the way I would like to see is in a salon goals, Tierney left back, Scales and Arthur, and Araujo right back. Then I would have two sitting midfielders in Cerracci and Oxlade-Chamberlain. I put McGregor a wee bit further forward. Pinecchi on the left, Forrest on the right, and I would have Negrin through the middle.
As a centre forward?
Well, the reason I say that is because I don't think Negrin... I see Negrin as a striker, and I'm surprised Celtic haven't tinkered with that, because...
Have they not a couple of times, though? Was it the Motherwell game or something? In fact, that night at Fir Park, I think he was the furthest forward for Celtic that night, maybe. No? I feel like I've got a memory that they've tried something before.
Tony, just quickly, you brought in two centre forwards in the January transfer window, and you've not even played any of them in the biggest game the season so far.
I know, and that's worrying. And obviously, the big Brian's sitting in the panel tonight, I think.
He can't play for the he's we've all got him.
I wouldn't want to be a striker for Celtic now, and I know there's a lot of blame being put on the strikers, but the service into the strikers is non-existent just now. And I just think with Negrin's scoring record this season, he carries the biggest threat. I think if the balls can go into the box, he's got a knack for finding the back of the net. I don't know why Celtic haven't even tinkered with that, him being the lone striker. The reason I don't want to see McGregor as the sitting midfielder is because Rangers have snuffed that out, and more teams are snuffing that out just now. So I'd like to see us try something a wee bit different.
Oxlade, Chamberlain and Sarachi can handle the ball. I would like to see them in there and just see if, just try something different, see if we can get up the pitch and get some control in the middle of the park.
Has Chavanchara been that bad though? I mean, I thought he was at least in the kind of okay category for most Celtic fans. Is he not convinced you enough that you're now playing Negrin ahead of him?
I think that he's expending a lot of energy, Chavanchara, because what he seems to be doing is just pressing the life out of the defence on his own. We don't seem to have a proper setup when we're pressing, and he's expending a lot of energy. And when the ball comes to him, I don't think he's able to do too much with it. I even seen Hatate against Kilmarnock the other day as well, pressing. It was a weird setup when we were pressing, and it just didn't look right. So Chavanchara, he's not done too much wrong, but I just think we need
Celtic
to play,
always
play
press 4-4-2. Celtic play 4-3-3 and off the ball they go 4-4-2 and press. It's usually if Hatate's playing in that midfield, he bounces up with a centre forward and Celtic press that way. We've done a lot of homework on Celtic, and when Celtic get the press right, Celtic are one of the best at it in the country. So
I think we get it right as often this season.
Potentially not, but at the same time, we'll go back to the big striker. Do you think Celtic plays, Tony, to his strengths at times?
No, I don't think we do play to his strengths. I think he makes a lot of good runs, a lot of good movements, and we're just not finding it at all. To me, the press just doesn't look like right from Celtic just now. It looks as if they should be setting traps, but it seems to me Hatate, whether it's Hatate or Chavanchara, just running about like headless chickens up front, and they're expending a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to see us do something a wee bit different moving forward.
As you say, Gordon, it's twofold that if Tony thinks that's the team to win the game, that becomes your priority. You pick the best team to win the game, and you worry about everything else later. But as you say, if you need to go into a game of this magnitude where Chavanchara, Adamu, even Iheanacho, if none of them start and you've preferred Negrin, it also does send out a heck of a message about your recruitment, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's why I asked the question. Look, I wouldn't be... If I seen that lineup,
Chavanchara will play, will he not? I know Tony's not a fan, but he's
I think he will. You've got to play with the recognised centre forward for me. Although I've not been overly impressed with him, I think he's still settling into being a Celtic player. And you know what, like it is in these games, we've seen Chirmiti, who come in for a lot of criticism, all of a sudden making himself an instant hero at Celtic Park in the second half. And it could happen at the weekend for him. I do agree with Tony. The middle part for Celtic used to be called the strongest area of the team. It's very weak now for me. It really is. That'll be interesting to see who puts in there. Obviously, Ingles is missing as well. Hatate, I have no idea what's happened to him this season. We all know he's a fantastic footballer, great talent. He's offered absolute nothing in recent months.
Okay, thank you to Tony. I always like a good team lineup theory. It shows you it's a big game. It's Tuesday night. Celtic have got another game in between, and Tony's picked his team, but I don't mind that at all. 0141 951 1025. Any more on the teaser? It's the last player to be sent off for each Premiership club. However, it is in all competitions, so it could include cup games.
Liam Morrison for Aberdeen at the weekend?
Yes.
Well done.
Where is Aberdeen on my list? Yes, Liam Morrison.
I've got Motherwell.
You don't need to go far at all.
Got my
for all of these, really?
Fadinger?
No.
Yeah, he did.
Come on.
At Ibrox.
Yeah.
For part.
I've had two since then.
Who did Motherwell play after that? They played.
Come on. They were high profile.
They played very Aberdeen, didn't they? Was it Pataudry?
They get two sent off, didn't they?
Liam Gordon.
Yeah. We'll get the rest of the answers and more calls if you fancy it when we return.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Gordon Diel are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've got a big game about to kick off at Tannadice as well this evening. Very quickly on this teaser, can you name the last player from each Premiership club to be sent off in all competitions? It's quite easy because they're all so recent. Austin Trusty at Celtic, Liam Gordon, Motherwell, Liam Henderson, Falkirk. Liam Morrison, Aberdeen. Simon Murray, Dundee. Richard King, St Mirren. Give me a couple that you thought of during the break, perhaps.
Livingston, Montana.
Again, from the weekend.
Yeah.
Jack Thompson.
From the weekend, Kilmarnock. And
you want one more?
Give me one more.
I'm going to go Rangers. It's Stirling.
It is not. Okay, you've got Rangers, Hearts, okay, and Dundee United to get. I'm going to speak to Ethan in just a second, hopefully. He won't mind just hanging on quickly, because I wanted to tee up the fact that Dundee United Aberdeen is getting underway. We said earlier on that Brian Graham and his Falkirk teammates are probably just sitting hoping for a draw to keep their top six hopes intact. What are your thoughts on it, Gordon Deal? Because it feels like these are two clubs in a similar situation, in that their budgets and their club size and their fan base and everything dictates that they should be top six, and they're not.
Yeah.
And they really need to find something from somewhere.
Well, I don't think a draw suits any of the two teams. It would certainly suit Falkirk, no doubt about that. Dundee United at home, you couldn't second guess this, because you don't know what sort of Aberdeen team are going to turn up. They've been so inconsistent this year, as is Dundee United, you've got to say. I don't think any of them will get top six, Gordon. I must admit, I think Aberdeen, they're still in the Scottish Cup, and obviously the holders, and they're going away to Dunfermline. They've got a good opportunity, but a draw tonight for me, because I just...
So you're right, you're backing Brian Graham's
hope. I'm back, because I can't separate any of the two of them. Not showed any decent form.
Maynard, Brewer and goal, Savé, Jovu and Crestes, the back three for United, Stevenson, Kamara... let me line this up. Agye and Ferry in midfield, Fata, Trapanovsky, and then Sapsford in attack for Aberdeen. Brattwhite in goal, Devlin, Milne, McIntyre, Malloy at the back, Shinney the holder with Giger, Olasanya, Cameron and Bilalovic providing support for Kevin Nisbet, who's found a bit of form.
I'm adding
recently
to that, obviously, Dundee United, you've got them in the Scottish Cup.
Yeah.
So that for me is their road to success this year, and I can't see it, but the two of them are still in the competition.
Right, let's go back to the phones. I'll keep an eye. If anything happens in the opening stages of that game, I will tell you all about it. But in the meantime, let's go back where Ethan's waiting. Hi, Ethan.
Hello, boys. What you got? It's Ethan here. Hi, Peter. I've got a question, mate, but don't be angry. I think this is not what a Motherwell fan was talking about, and I missed this. It's about the red cards recently, and I think, I don't know, he's obviously watched the Aberdeen game, Motherwell v Aberdeen, when we get two red cards. I think that the manager is actually in it to win the title from the way they played, and the goalie they put on, Matt Connolly, that was a red card, that was caused because he was in the start of 11, and also Liam Gordon's performance. It's a wee bit like, I'm a joiner myself, it's a wee bit like me myself, grabbing a ball, my boss came to fit it, and I shoot it with a nail gun, so it's no working. It's a terrible performance. He came out, and he said, right, I look silly here, I'm just going to turn around and take the boy out. Mad decision, it's a red card. And then also Callum Slattery. I've been to every game, I'm a loyal Motherwell fan. I love him to bits, and it's funny as anything, but he falls on the park as soon as he gets touched. I'm telling you, every time he gets touched, and I think it's actually bad for Scottish football, this VAR, and I think it misses a lot of things. I really don't know how that was missed. I really don't. Probably a lot to talk about here, but that was my opinion. I'm a true Motherwell fan.
But Gordon, I don't think there's any problem with that. I mean, it's always harder to sort of criticise your own and all that stuff, and people don't jump up and down and do it, but Ethan, you know, I don't think it's a huge shock for Motherwell fan to say that they don't like the way Callum Slattery reacted to the weekend.
No, if you're an honest fan, and I think the boy will look back, and he's had a lot of headlines over the last few days, and it's sad because the boy's such a good footballer, he should be getting headlines about his performances and the way he's playing, and he's obviously attracting attention from other clubs, rightly so, because he's had, I know he's had one or two injuries, Gordon, but when he's fit and he's fully fit, he is a terrific footballer, there's no doubt. But there's no room, and I totally agree with Ethan there, that there's no room in the game for that sort of behaviour.
We also probably can't be too hypocritical. If Falkirk get to the Scottish Cup final, Brian Graham goes down easily, opposition get a player sent off, Falkirk win the cup. No Falkirk fan phoning us on Monday to say that was poor from Brian Graham.
I'm staying out of this one.
No, oh, it was no, aimed at you. It was hypothetical.
I do agree with you. Right, one, I don't think that's going to happen because they're not getting to Scottish Cup. I hope John switched off.
You're not getting, but he's not getting into Ladies' Day on Saturday. No chance.
I know that, but I just think the situation, Gordon, and everybody looks at it. I think it's because we're now talking about that for 3 days now. Instead of talking about a brilliant performance.
I think, but again, I think some of that's personal choice as well.
Yeah, well,
I think that's the way it's, I think that's the way everything's changed now with the scrutiny and whatever. Like, it's a big decision, it's a big talking point, but we've all got the choice whether that is like our biggest takeaway from the game or whether it's Motherwell's performance and result.
Well,
we do it too readily.
My personal opinion, I'd rather talk about the performance.
That's what I'm saying. I think you can then.
Yeah, the way Motherwell have been about their business and everything about them. It's amazing that I love how the mindset of Motherwell fans have changed, because obviously I live near the ground and you bump into a lot of Motherwell supporters, and that's the first thing they said after Aberdeen: we're concentrating on winning the league. And I thought, my God, things have changed here.
What do you make of your team's league position, Ethan, and what, I mean, are they in this title race or what?
I think we are, and the thing, that's what I was, I skipped that, I didn't get that in. The performance against St Mirren, that was our strongest team, and it was proven that the manager put that team on. I said to my pals, I said to everyone, they're going to come out and absolutely thrash them. They're going to be so motivated to show that they are a competitor to this, especially from the weekend, the results that happened. I think it's a lot of pressure. Either Motherwell's get a good, they've got a good chance, and they're really, really, really going to be a team that could really screw up the top three. They could really screw up. That's my decision, and I love seeing them play. All credit to the boys. I just that's it, man. I'm dead proud of them.
The only thing I'll say that, Ethan, you say that's Motherwell's strongest team, but like, you can't have a go at the manager because of the team selection against Aberdeen in the Cup. I know everybody looked at the goalkeeping situation, right, first and foremost, but this is a manager that changes after a win. He'll change five players. In fact, at one point, I think he changed seven after a good result as well. That's what he does. He rotates his players. He rotates everyone, and I know it's a disappointing cup exit, because I think a lot of Motherwell fans were fancying a little trip along the 74 to Hampden in the 23rd or the 22nd of May, whatever it may is. But unfortunately, Aberdeen deserved the result on the night. Things went against them with the send-offs, but they've been absolutely brilliant. But I wouldn't look at the manager going, well, that was our strongest team on Saturday and that's what happened to St Mirren. This manager rotates every single time.
Aye, doesn't he just concentrate on a first 11? He's utilising his full squad and he's getting the benefit from that, because
changes,
you can see the confidence when every single one, even the ones that are coming off the bench. There are a team full of confidence this year. They've got, I think if you look at Stephen O'Donnell's performance in the last couple of weeks, McGinn at the back's been excellent. Just has been getting a lot of spotlight on him.
Can both things be true? Because I know, earlier in the season it was harder. See if there was a league decider tomorrow, right? You get your wish, Mother in the title race, and it's a league decider tomorrow. I think I can pick the Motherwell team,
and it doesn't. Everybody fully fit.
Yeah, and it doesn't have Matty Connolly in goals, and it doesn't have Liam Gordon at the back, and others. And by the way, that's not to like pick on them, but just as an example to Aberdeen.
No, I totally agree with you. But what I'm saying is that team that you've got in your head hasn't played every week.
I know,
and Motherwell have dominated games and wiped teams off the pitch.
You need to do that throughout the course of the season, which is fine. But I think you said something in there, like it's not like, you know, they have a strongest team. I think they do now. Honestly, I do. I think give or take one, I think you can pick it. I think it's changed, and that's why. So see, earlier in the season when he was doing that, it didn't feel like it didn't feel as much of a surprise. But I think Aberdeen did. Because we're a couple of months on, and I think it's become a bit more like, to go back to the start of the season.
So, do you think the manager got it totally wrong against
Not totally, but I'm saying there's got to be room for that kind of middle ground in this argument. Where go back a few months, like Ibrahim Said as an example, wouldn't start every game. If Motherwell were trying to win the league tomorrow, he would start the game.
Yeah,
right. And I think you can do that now for loads, because again, at the start, they were maybe kind of trying to go Stamatolopoulos. Then maybe Callum Hendry would come in. Masinissi would play off a side. Masinissi plays up front. If Muller try and win the league tomorrow, do you know what I mean? Just Said behind Slattery, Fadinga, Water, Priestman maybe, because Priestman's come in and done so well. But it's Elliot.
Right, what's your strongest one there?
But that's what I'm saying.
But who are you playing?
Elliot Watt would play if they were trying to win the league tomorrow.
Elliot Watt. Yeah, he'll probably have right. that in his mind.
Anyway, let's thank Ethan for his time. No goals yet. Let me just quickly bring something to your attention, because something big, massive, huge is coming to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's going to be announced on the show tomorrow. Gordon Dale's been sworn to secrecy, and it's not that TV show that he's going on. It's something that we're all involved in, so make sure you're listening 6pm tomorrow for all the details. Right, quickly, last Hearts, Rangers and Dundee United player to be sent off all competitions. Go.
Halkett against St Mirren.
Correct, for Hearts, well done. Hibs, I think you mentioned the game. Motherwell, all the changes. Who had a really bad night and the Motherwell manager picked on him.
Oh, Hanlon.
Yep, Hanley. Hanley.
I keep getting these two mixed up.
Fata, Dundee United, that one?
No, Rangers one's hard because it's in Europe against Braga. Remember it?
Aarons?
No, Diamandi.
Diamandi, well done. Very good. Spartans last week in the cup. It was another dogzo since they're all in fashion at the moment.
What, Dundee United?
Hard one. I'll need to put you out your misery.
Yeah, put us out.
Yuri Iovu.
Big centre half, yeah. Aye.
All right, thank you, Brian and Gordon. Back tomorrow, Wednesday night. Match day minus one, if you like, before Celtic play Stuttgart. So join us then from 6 o'clock and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.